Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 38 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
And I am Lou. And, boy, I feel like I had something to say, and now I can't remember what it was.
What was it?
I don't know. That's why I can't remember. Well, what I will say is that don't forget that you can visit us on Facebook and become a fan of our page. I'll say that. I'll say that you can write to us at podcast@pause.com. I'll say that. I'll say that we love to get your emails. I'll say that, except when they're mean. Then we don't like them so much.
We don't get mean ones. We haven't gotten a mean one yet.
No, I don't think we have gotten a mean one yet.
No.
Which is nice.
At some point, I was called Goody Two Shoes by someone.
I was called a crackhead. That's kind of mean, I guess. Do you have any shout outs or anything like that you want to do?
No.
Okay. No shout outs.
I mean, well, we have a.
Yeah. We'll address
right.
Some listener comments later from our old pal Stritch.
Yes.
But for now, let's get right into video games. What have you been playing?
I've been playing Lost Planet, which I know has been out forever. But I saw a couple trailers for Lost Planet 2, and it looks kind of cool. So I'm like, you know what? I never played the original, so I'll go back and play it through the magic of Gamefly.
Sure.
And
or just going to buy old games for cheap, one of the two.
Oh, Gamefly's cheaper.
Okay.
And I can't say I'm a fan.
Well, you know, I think I talked about that before, right?
On the podcast?
I don't know, because that was actually the first game that I ever played under Windows that made me hate games that had been converted from the Xbox to Windows.
Oh, okay.
Because it had no instructions for the keyboard whatsoever.
Right.
And every time I would get to a new thing, it would show a picture of an Xbox controller with what I was supposed to do with the buttons. Of course, I didn't have one.
Right.
So it was like impossible. Plus, I hated how slowly, because you can get these like power suit things.
Right.
And I hated how slowly those moved. When you would go to turn, it was like, change. It would take you like half an hour to make a 90-degree turn.
Yeah, well, that's my complaint about the game is its mechanics aren't very well thought out.
Because
I really like the atmosphere, and I like the story.
I agree.
I just don't like the mechanics. And the whole, like, this is the perfect example of, why can't I just pick up a weapon? Why do I have to, you know, be right on top of it and press a button to pick it up.
Right. Why can't you just pick it up when you run over it kind of thing?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that's because you can only carry like one of a certain kind, but.
It was non-intuitive though, because you would run into one and you would pick one up and then all of a sudden the other thing you were carrying would be on the ground. You're like, well, I didn't want to get rid of that. I just want this other one too.
Right. Well, I mean,
yeah,
that's the whole thing of the game. Is
right. But you know what? I kind of.
A particular kind, but.
Yeah. But I guess my complaint about that is, you know, there are people who say, well, you know, it's not realistic that you could carry 18 weapons. Okay, well, guess what? It's not realistic that you could be in power armor fighting aliens.
Right.
So if you're going to make something non-realistic, how about the part that makes it more fun?
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
I agree.
How far did you get into it?
I just started playing it. I'm probably like an hour in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I probably got about the same amount in, and then I just gave up.
Right.
Plus, it seemed like there were times when I was supposed to go someplace in the power armor and I couldn't get there because like a door was too small or something.
Uh-huh.
And I found that really aggravating. But I will say the environment was cool.
It
was like kind of creepy, spooky, you know.
I like the whole snow thing.
Yeah.
So I hope that, you know, the second one, at least just the movement and the mechanics are a little more polished.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that. And what did you play that on?
360.
Okay. Well, I actually finally started playing Shadow Complex. And I have to say, I agree that it's very, very cool. In fact, it was so funny because when it first starts, there's this little cinematic and you see these, you know, soldiers and they're kind of sneaking around somewhere. And then your character comes from somewhere and, you know, he gets some kind of intel that he needs to take out these soldiers or whatever.
Right.
So then you start playing and the camera zooms out because, of course, it's a 2D side-scrolling game.
Right.
So the camera zooms out. And at first I was like, wait a minute, I can't move forward and backward because I had forgotten that it was a side-scroller
right.
because of the way that it looks, because it looks really nice.
Yeah.
And now the only thing that I was confused about, the guy that you play at the very beginning.
He's not the guy you play through the rest of the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little weird. Is that ever understood?
I don't know. You know, this is based on a book, I believe.
Oh, it is?
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. But it's never explained in the rest of the game why you played that other guy for like...
Because the rest of the game you play is...
You literally play for like a minute, and then right. the credits roll, and then you start the game, which is in a completely different location, and there's right. no explanation as to why you were that other guy for a minute.
I know.
That was weird.
I have no explanation either.
Okay. But it's really cool. It's a lot of fun, too. And it's like not, well, I played on casual, so it's not too hard.
Right.
But, no, I like it so far. I can't wait to play it more.
I've started playing it for the second time to go around and collect everything.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then I'm going to play it a third time to try and finish it under the 2 hours. Because it's really that much fun that I go back and I'm having just as much fun with it the second time.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And you said you can go back to all the other places that you've been to?
Yeah. Well, because you'll notice, well, your colorblindness can play into here, but you'll notice when you have your flashlight on that doors or grates and that will be like different colors, and that tells you what weapon you need to
get through. That. Yeah.
And so, you know, the rooms you're going through now, you know, you don't have those weapons till much further in the game.
Yeah, so. I only have grenades.
Right.
So they're all grenades, I guess. But I did find some places where it looked like I should be able to do something with a door or a panel, and I couldn't do anything.
Because you don't have anything to do.
Yeah,
because
I'm assuming. Right. But so then, like, later when you come back, do you have to, like, walk all the way back? Or can you, like, fast
travel? Well, no. When you have the different missions, they'll kind of crisscross other places you've been.
Okay.
But when you're at the end, the map is huge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So to go back and collect everything, it's going to be, you know, kind of a job. But it's kind of fun to figure out, because in certain areas, you have to figure out how to get to the next level, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is really cool. And the map that we're talking about is like a little map that's overlaid over the screen, and basically it shows like a little square or rectangle for the particular area that you're in immediately. So then, like, if you go from one room to the next room, you know, then the map scrolls so that you're in the next room, in the next square or whatever. And some of the squares are marked with things so that you know, for instance, well, if I go into that, if I can figure out how to get into that room, I'll get health kit or weapons or something,
or
you know.
Or a save room.
Right, or a save room. There's save rooms.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I hope I didn't shut it off without saving.
Well, the save rooms are pretty frequent, so.
Oh, okay.
If you did, I mean, you.
Oh, dear.
I'm sure it wasn't.
I hate to have to.
I mean, that's what I love about the game, like I was saying before, is that you can just play for like 5 or 10 minutes because there are enough save rooms that, you know.
What are the save rooms marked with?
A star.
Oh,
and you hear
okay.
a little noise when you walk into the room.
Yeah, but I'm colorblind, so.
So you don't hear noise?
Oh. I can't use that excuse this time.
What does that even mean?
I can't use that excuse. I'm so lost. And that's it. I mean, I play World of Warcraft, but I don't need to talk about that right now. So I'm level 62, by the way.
Little pat
on the back. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Just got my first flying mount, which is fun. I'll tell you, when you can get a mount that lets you fly rather than riding around on the ground, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
The problem is you can only use it in some places, but it makes certain things really convenient. Like, there are these achievements in the game that you get for exploring certain areas. So in the areas where you can use a flying mount, it's great because you can just fly all over the place and you still get the achievements, even though you're not having to fight anything.
Really?
Yeah, which is really cool. Because as long as you're over it, it still counts it.
Right.
But so that's pretty neat. But anyway, I don't have a lot of miscellaneous video game news here. I do have one thing that's a little alarming. Well, first of all, the official release date and price for the Xbox 360 wireless N adapter is November 3rd, $100. Which, wasn't the old wireless adapter $100?
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. It should literally be like $35.
Right.
But anyway. Okay, so the other news that makes me a little sick is that Fox and EA are adapting Spore, you know, the game Spore,
right,
to become an animated creature film. It's going to be directed by Chris Wedge, who did Ice Age, and it'll be written by Greg Erb and Jason Orumland, who wrote The Princess and the Frog for Disney.
So what's your issue with
this? Well, my issue with this is that it wasn't even a great game. Why would you make a movie out of it? I mean, basically, this is these filmmakers saying, you know what, we don't even have any good enough ideas for making cool-looking creatures, so even though there's absolutely no story behind your game, I mean, there's no story in that game.
Right.
There is no story. It's, you know, it's basically like a...
Well, that's why they hired writers.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not going to be so quick to judge it.
I'm more excited about Asteroids than I am this. Let's
Come
put it
on.
That way. Well, at least it takes place in space. Well, I guess this will too. But I don't know. I forget. Did you play that?
No. I played the iPhone version.
That doesn't count. Seriously, the first level of the game was really cool. And then after that, it just got worse.
Yeah,
it became much less cool immediately. And by the end, it was just so boring. It was that was the problem with it. It was just so boring. Like nothing.
Remember how they talked about that, how that was going to like...
It was like for 5 years it was hyped.
How it was going to be like the next big thing.
I know. Did nothing. Well, you know why it didn't do anything?
The next poop thing.
Because it's boring. That's why. But that's really it. I don't have anything else, do you?
Nope.
All right, cool. We'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. All right, we're back, and we're going to talk about TV now. Do you think we should do this whole segment with funny voices?
No.
No, you don't think so?
I can't do that.
So, people, you don't think that we should do the TV segment with a funny voice?
No.
That voice may have been bordering on offensive to some people.
I believe so.
I don't even know what it was.
I believe so.
Now, what about if we throw the TV section kind of like this? Okay, what'd you watch this week, Tony?
I can't do this like this.
Tony, what'd you watch on the television this week?
Oh, my God.
Did you watch anything that I didn't watch? Let's put it that way.
No. I mean, not that we discuss.
Okay. All right, let's get right down to it then. The Office. Like it or didn't like it?
I have issues with it, and my issues are the same as yours because we did discuss it before we taped.
That's true.
I don't believe that Jim... Here's my belief. I don't believe that Jim would have been so...
Everyone. Here's the thing. The entire episode was out of character for both
Jim and Michael.
Yeah, I agree. Because, like you said... In fact, it was almost backwards. Because Jim would normally be the one thinking of everybody.
Right.
And Michael would normally be the one who just wanted to give it all to Ryan.
I agree.
You know what I mean? But meanwhile, you have Michael, who at the very beginning, the whole thing was they had limited funds to give people, they didn't have enough funds to give people cost of living increases. So they had a limited budget that they had to work with to give everybody raises. And since they're co-managers now, they had to work it out together. So Michael at the very beginning says, well, let's just give everybody 1.5%. And Jim goes off on some crazy idea where he's just going to give it to the salespeople.
Right.
And then he goes out and he announces it.
I mean, I would guess that their thinking behind that is that, you know, because he was a salesman and he felt that he worked harder than the others. But
well, I think it's be no. Well, what he said was because they're directly contributing to income and not whereas accounting and stuff are support in that sense. But I mean, that's at least what he said.
Right.
But he's usually the one that would tell Michael, well, that's a dumb idea. Why don't we just do this? And then everyone's happy.
Right.
And it was totally backwards. So then he announces this, you know, only salespeople are getting raises. And then Michael doesn't really step in, whereas usually he would want to be everybody's best friend.
Right.
So I don't understand why they didn't have him say then, why don't we just give everyone 1.5%? We'll all be happy.
Right.
And they never even went back to that idea.
I know.
Which was really dumb. The thing that I did like about it was that it was nice to... make Jim see Michael's point of view in terms of what a pain in the neck it is to deal with these issues when they come up and how easy it is to fall into the Michael trap of just hiding in the office and drinking as it turned out to be. And what else was going on subplot wise? I don't remember.
Oh, that. Pam wanted everyone to give them cash for their wedding.
That was so funny and awkward.
Right. I'm really looking forward to the wedding episode.
Is that this week?
Yeah, and it's an hour long.
Wow. Yeah. That's nice, too. I like short weddings.
Even the commercial, they showed a commercial for it during something else I was watching, and kind of brought a tear to my eye.
Oh, boy. Really? Seriously?
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of...
That's kind of weird, Tony. I never cried at a commercial for TV before.
That's really funny. I'm not encouraging you to do it a lot, but it's really funny.
So that was not a great office episode. It was still funny though.
And some very funny moments.
Yeah,
I love the part when Creed looks over to Meredith and goes, have we ever? And she's like, yeah, we have.
That was pretty funny. Flash forward had its second episode. And I was a little worried going into it, like, okay, what are they going to do? You know, because at the end of the pilot, we just had one clue, really. And I thought they did a pretty good job of carrying the story forward.
Let me say I loved the beginning. I love the beginning where all the little kids are like...
We're playing Blackout.
We're playing Blackout, but you think it's you the think Blackout. It's another, and then the little girl is like not blacked out.
Right, their daughter.
That was great.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really cool.
Let's bring up first that Stritch posted a comment on pause.com. And,
after last week's show.
Right. And I think he had seen both episodes by the time he posted this.
Okay.
And I have to say, his point number one
Yeah.
That Joseph Fine is a horrible actor.
Yeah.
I never really thought about it until, because I read this before I saw the episode.
Okay.
And he really is bad.
Is he really? I mean.
He really is an over-actor.
He's
always whispering and always urgent to do whatever's next.
Yeah.
Like, it's annoying.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have noticed that if Stritch didn't point it out.
Which is funny because Stritch also said that he liked John Cho's performance. And
it was a little more scaled back this episode.
This episode. In the pilot, I thought John Cho totally overacted.
Right.
You know, how much slack do we want to cut Joe Fine for faking the accent, though? You know, it's like you got to factor that in. But then again, if that's an issue, then just hire somebody who doesn't have to do that while he's trying to act, too. I mean, that's why you've never seen House, have you?
No.
If you watch that, you will think Hugh Laurie is a genius. And right. He is, because his character has so much going on, and he's faking an accent the
whole
time.
You know, another person that I'll put in that category, Rachel Griffiths. Rachel Griffiths, almost every character she plays, she has she has an American accent, and she has a heavy, heavy accent.
Why can I not
Six Feet Under, Brothers and Sisters, Muriel's Wedding. I think she's Australian. I don't think she's British.
I'm sure I would recognize her if I saw her, but...
I'll find her.
Well, what about Anthony Appiah? He's Australian.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that funny? He's good. Jamie Bamber from BSG was awesome at hiding his accent because he's British.
Uh-huh.
And Stritch also said that he thought Cho's performance reminded him a little bit of Tim Kang in The Mentalist. I think John Cho's a little bit more animated than that. Tim Kang's character is so, like, even-keeled and dry. I mean, I like the character, but, I mean, it's really like he's like a flatliner, basically, as far as his delivery goes. But anyway, okay, one thing Stritch said that I will totally agree with, he doesn't buy the marriage between...
I don't either.
Yeah. There's zero chemistry.
No.
Zero.
She's pretty good at hiding her accent. Yeah. Using an American accent as well.
Yeah. She is pretty good. Is she British
or Australian? I believe so. She was on Lost. I'm just going by that. Let me look her up.
I can't remember. Wasn't she? She was in some other TV show a few years ago, and I can't remember.
With a British accent?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to remember. If it was,
I'll find out where she's from.
Okay. But yeah, I there's no chemistry between them whatsoever. So
didn't you at first when she met the guy who she sees in her flash forward? Weren't you like?
No, that's the dude. That's the like dude from Pirates of the Caribbean who's trying to steal Elizabeth, right?
Oh, is he?
Isn't that actor?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to go back and look.
I'm pretty sure.
Wasn't your first instinct like, why doesn't he recognize her? And then
no,
she points
because,
out,
because
well,
I
she points out later that...
Yeah, I remembered in when they showed her flash forward that he never turned around and saw her.
Right.
The first, you know, she saw him and here, this was one thing...
Well, the thing is there's two different like scenes in
which,
her flash
which
forward.
Is
one
inconsistent,
is like him sitting on the bed,
right? Which is inconsistent with everyone else's flash forward, which seems to be a contiguous 2-minute time period.
Right.
So I'm not sure I understand that unless we were just seeing the beginning of it, which is him getting out of bed and then her following him out and she's looking over the railing and he's sitting on the couch. But yeah, in her flash forward, he never saw her.
Right.
So now we got to wonder how long it's going to be before the kid says, you know, Daddy, that's my new mommy, you know,
right.
Kind of thing. But anyway. But I liked where they went with it in terms of they got right into more clues and more story and, you know, even though the whole Suspect Zero thing is still there, they were following this other lead, and I thought that was pretty cool how they did that and all the stuff that happened there.
How come you never mentioned that she was on 5 episodes of Terminator of the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Sonya Wagner?
Yeah.
Or Walger, or whatever her name is.
And she's British, by the way.
I don't remember who she played on that. Oh, right. She was...
Michelle Dixon.
Right. Yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
She's also a voice in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Really?
Just of a pedestrian.
Oh. There's a voice in World of Warcraft who I swear was the voice of, gosh, now I can't even remember the actress's name. God. Will you please look up Firefly?
Okay.
And look up the character of Kaylee, I believe. Did you find it? Well, you need to go faster.
Hold on. Kaylee?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the actress's name?
Jewel State.
Okay, click on Jewel State and see if she did any voices for World of Warcraft. Because I swear there's a voice in there that sounds like her.
I'd be very impressed if she did.
Yeah. I don't know. She seems like a little
If she did not, I will be very not impressed.
Okay. She might be a little too big time to be doing voices for World of Warcraft, but whoever did this particular voice sounds just like her. I mean, like, just like her. Nothing?
Nope.
Okay. Oh, well. Anyway.
She was also on Stargate Atlantis.
Yes, she was. She's a doctor. And she's great. Okay, so anyway, so what else? Here's what I'm... The thing about Flash Forward is if, you know, it's based on a book, I guess. So anyone could go and figure out, I guess, what's going on.
Okay.
I'm almost wondering if maybe they didn't see into the future, but if maybe what's going on is they're all actually stuck in the past. And I know there's only a slight distinction there, but right. I wonder if they're remembering something because they went back in time rather than they saw into the future.
Oh.
I don't know. I forget. There was something that happened that made me think that maybe that was going on.
Like maybe they all woke up and it was the past?
But for some reason don't remember going back.
That's very interesting.
I don't know. And so for some reason, whatever it was that made them all go back,
uh-huh.
like glitched, and that's why they had their memories of, you know,
right,
whatever.
So they got to go and turn the wheel again.
And move the island. Right. Oh, wait, shoot, that's a different show. I don't know.
When's Charlie coming? I want Charlie to come.
I don't think Charlie's showing up. I'm sorry.
No, he is.
He is?
He's on that show.
Oh,
yeah.
He is?
He
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's pretty funny. Is he still going to be Charlie?
It looks like he plays
a rocker.
No, kind of
a guy with big hairy feet.
No.
Oh.
no. Maybe an evil character.
Oh.
You never saw after the first episode they show, you know, stuff that's
No. We never watched those. We never watched the.
Oh, come on. You don't even watch that.
We never watched the. Here's what happens in the rest of the entire season. We never watch that. We always turn it off because we don't want to see.
You're a freak.
No, we.
Yep, you are.
We don't want to see. All right, are you caught up on Heroes, or you didn't see last night?
I didn't see last night.
Okay, well, I won't talk too much about last night, but I am going to talk about something they showed in the preview for next week.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, there's going to be a little hot lesbian action.
Yeah.
Between Claire and Gretchen, her nosy friend.
So only half hot lesbian action.
Okay, fine.
Because Gretchen, not so much.
Exactly. And what's funny is apparently it was all Hayden Panettiere's idea.
Uh-huh.
I was going to talk about this in TV, but I'll just go ahead and say
it. We are in TV.
No, but I mean in the miscellaneous stuff.
Uh-huh.
She said, I kind of threw it out there. The writers put you in relationships, and I was like, can I just be with a girl or something? Let's do that. So they took it and ran with it. She's a great girl, and we have a blast. Is she, like, bi-curious in real life or something?
Perhaps. Maybe in a couple weeks she'll be like, you know what? Let's try heroin. Can we have my character try heroin?
Also, do you know where we could get a donkey? Oh, let's not go there, okay, people?
It's wrong.
So we got that to look forward to next week. All right, and we got to talk about Modern Family because this show is so funny.
It really is.
It's the first time in years that I can remember looking forward to a comedy.
Uh-huh. Other than The Office. You look forward to The Office?
Yeah, but I mean, that debuted, you know,
oh, I see.
5 years ago.
I see.
I mean, a new show, you know what I mean? It was still, I mean, the second episode, you always get nervous. Well, just like you watch the pilot of Cougar Town, you thought it was hilarious, and then what you watched the second episode, and you said it was terrible.
I was going to talk about that later, but sure.
Sorry. You can still talk about it later. You could have just said, yeah, without saying that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I usually like that part to be like kind of a surprise. Like
okay.
People wonder while they're listening
forgot.
What's going to happen at the
you
end.
You know, I was in the moment.
You know how you don't
You're
watch.
Not supposed to tell me.
You know how you don't watch what's going to happen the rest of you
uh-huh.
know, the season on
yes.
Flash Forward?
Yeah.
Everyone dies.
What? So Modern Family, the second episode was just as funny as the first, I thought.
Yeah.
There's just some really great, there's this, one of the plots was that, the son of the, you know, the main couple, the Julie Bowen, Ty Burrell couple, he's been riding his sister's bike. And so the dad decides that he's sick of him riding a girl's bike. So he's going to go out and buy him a new bike. And they do one of those, you know, cutaways where he's just talking to the camera. And he goes, you know, sometimes a man's just got to make a decision. And if the old lady don't like it, and he turns around, he goes, honey. And he waits to see if she answers, and she doesn't. So he turns back to the camera and goes, it's just too damn bad. I mean, there were like so many great things like that.
You know, I was thinking about what you said last week about him being a lot like Michael Scott. And yeah, I see the similarities, but it's not painfully obvious.
It wasn't in this episode. It was much more so in the pilot. So I actually didn't even think about it in this episode. So I was happy that they toned that down. But again, all three, you know, family groups had great stories this week. The gay couple took their little girl to a, you know, like a new parents group.
Right.
And, you know, Mitchell was worried about fitting in, and
Cameron
just wanted to be himself. And, you know, so a lot of funny stuff happened as a result of that. And did you catch the joke at the very beginning of that where the girl who was running the thing said, "Oh, why don't you come over here? We're all blowing bubbles." And Cameron goes, "Oh, well, how nice that must be for everyone." It was like, you know, he wanted to make a joke, but didn't. And then the storyline with the other family was that that Manny's dad was supposed to take him to Disney World and he bailed. And so, you know,
that was a touching ending.
I have a feeling it's going to be like that every week where there's something, you know, heartwarming about it too, right. Which I love. I love that because it's done genuinely. And again, I'll say again that I really like how the characters are much less two-dimensional than you would expect on a sitcom. Sofia Vergara's character, you know, again, hot Latina woman married to an old fat white guy. But what's great about it is they're not making her like a gold digging high maintenance chick. I mean, at least as far as what we've seen right now, she genuinely likes him and she's with him because she loves him and stuff like that. But yet she'll still make jokes about their relationship. Like he made some comment that she didn't like and she goes, "You're funny. I'm going to share that with my next husband while we're spending all your money," which was great because she didn't really mean it. You know, she was just giving him a hard time. But I really liked like how she genuinely wanted him to fix, you know, show her son how to fix the ceiling fan. She's like, "No, you promise. It's very important for men in my culture to know how to do things for themselves." "Yeah, I know. That's why I hire men from your culture to do stuff around the house." You know, like moments like that were really great.
Right.
But, okay. Apparently you want to move on.
Well, no. I mean, we could sit and tell every joke from the show or we can, you know.
Yeah. I'm just recapping what I liked about it. Now, you don't watch House, as I think we just established. Last week's episode was really cool. There was the plot was around a guy who's like a video game, you know, wunderkind.
Uh-huh.
And there's something wrong with him, and that's why he ends up in the hospital. But what was really cool about it was at the beginning of the show.
Did he have one of those photo seizures?
No. I don't know what that means.
You know, whenever you start a video game, it tells at the beginning, like,
oh,
if
no,
you
no.
have, you know.
No. I'm pretty sure that most people who make video games are not epileptic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so at the beginning of the episode, the whole thing was showing him and two people that he works with in the video game that they were working on.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like 5 minutes of them playing this game. It was so cool. It was like so cool that I've actually seen other comments from people online saying, "Oh my God, somebody's got to like,
game, right?"
Yeah, because it was like a, you know, a 3D shooter, but all the player characters were like different kinds of sentient animals. Like there was one that was like a monkey character, another who was a lizard man, another who was something else. And, you know, they were all working together on the same team and they were fighting like dinosaurs and giant pterodactyls and stuff. There was some really cool stuff in that. And it was the kind of thing where it'd be like, oh man, somebody should take that idea and run with it. Cause it was pretty neat. That's a great show.
I'm looking to see if maybe I can find a,
yeah, I don't know. And then the other thing is of course, last Friday, Stargate Universe premiered. You know, I have really mixed feelings about it. You know, I love the first two series. I love the film. This one is the one that's trying to appeal to a younger audience and also trying to be a little bit more gritty and realistic, you know, like a Battlestar Galactica. And while they did that visually, I don't really buy it in terms of the writing and the acting. Like, for instance, there was a scene where two people were having sex in like a maintenance closet. It was like, well, why didn't you just put in a clip from Battlestar Galactica there?
Right.
You know, because it really was not contiguous with the rest of the story. I mean, there was one reference later to that scene, but, you know, the writing is still a little bit too innocent for that kind of a look and feel, I think. So I think they're going to have to make a decision to go more back towards the other Stargate shows or more towards a Battlestar Galactica thing where it is actually more realistic. The biggest problem that I had with it is there's no bad guy. We watch 2 hours of the show and there's no enemy.
So what's the story?
Well, the story is that they were trying to figure out a way to lock in the ninth chevron on the gate, which they had never been able to do before. And it wasn't because they couldn't figure out how to dial it. It was a power requirements issue. So what they did was they embedded a bunch of code into an MMO. And then this guy solved it in the game. He was the only person to ever like figure out that puzzle and get through it. And so, you know, half an hour later, there's a knock on his door and it's the military saying, we'd like you to help us with something. He's like, yeah, I don't think so. He's like, what if I say no? And then Richard Dean Anderson guest star, he's like, well, then we'll beam you up to our spaceship and kidnap you. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to go now. So he closes the door and 2 minutes later, he gets zapped up to the spaceship. So what it was is they take him to this place where they're working on this project, trying to dial the ninth, you know, symbol on the gate. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and then all of a sudden they're attacked by the last remnants of the Gold, who are the enemies from the original Stargate.
Uh-huh.
And so they, at the last minute, they get the gate dialed to the ninth address. They all start running through it. The base is exploding all around them, and so they can't get back home. And they don't know where they are, and they realize they're on a ship that was built by the Ancients, who are the people who built the Stargate system in the first place. And it's on autopilot, so it's just flying around, and they realize they're like 22 billion light years from Earth. Like they went all the way across the universe, not just across the galaxy or whatever. So they're totally screwed. And so then they're trying
to
figure out.
So that's the whole premise for the whole show.
Well, that's the premise for the show. You know,
they're lost in space.
They're lost in space, right.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Exactly. You can't see me right now, but I'm flailing my arms like Robot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he didn't have a name. He was just Robot.
Right.
He actually did have a name. Do you know his name?
No.
B-9. Get it? B-9. Because he was a friendly robot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then there are all these flashbacks that kind of set up the different characters on the show. And there's like a little bit of a power struggle because Robert Carlyle plays a creepy scientist who's the guy who dialed the gate to go there rather than just dialing the gate to Earth to go home when the attack started. So they're all like,
does he show his full Monty?
Thankfully, no. Okay. And so, like I said, there's a little power struggle, and then an annoying politician dies who nobody really cared about. So that was fine, except his daughter who's on the ship. And so at the end, what happens is, all of a sudden, the gate dials, and they see this timer so that they know that basically the ship has stopped going through hyperspace, the gate has dialed, and it's open to some planet, and there's a timer going, so they know they've got 12 hours to see what's on that planet, and then they got to get back to the ship because it's probably going to go back into, right, you know, hyperspace again. So that's the setup for the show, but there was no enemy. So,
well, maybe there will be.
Well, I hope so, but don't you think you should introduce some kind of threat in the... Because just being lost, that's already not been done.
Yeah.
It was done on Lost in Space. It was done on Star Trek Voyager.
It was done on Lost.
It was done on Lost.
That's called Lost.
That's why... But it doesn't take place in outer space.
No.
So, I just hope they introduce an enemy this week. Otherwise, I'm going to be upset. That's all I'm saying. It's got potential. You know, we'll keep watching it. I'm still on the fence, though.
Okay.
All right. All right, you want to talk about the Letterman scandal?
Sure.
Okay, so why don't you tell us what happened?
Well, you know what? I'm not completely 100% fleshed out in this whole thing. Apparently, he was having sex with his staffers and some guy who works for ABC?
CBS, 48 Hours, 48 right?
48 Hours, right.
So somebody from his own network,
right, threatened
was
to
blackmailing
like,
him.
Right, for $2 million.
Right.
And Letterman didn't. You know.
Right. So rather than paying the guy, he went to the cops who set up a sting operation.
Oh, see, I didn't even know all that.
Yeah, they wrote a phony check that he could give to the guy.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
See? You
know more about it. And that's how they busted the guy. And then because it wasn't released until later that it was, you know, basically a coworker.
But here's my question. Was the guy blackmailing him just to expose him to America and his wife, or did Letterman do something bad? Here's my thing. If those women were having consensual sex with him, where's the crime?
Well, he was already dating his wife.
So he was.
As far
just,
as I know. So, I mean, isn't that why he apologized
right,
to her?
Exactly.
Okay.
But so that was the only thing. It's not like he was threatening him with some kind of like you did something illegal.
As far as I know, it was just you had sex with a bunch of people you worked with while you were involved with the woman who was eventually going to be your wife. And if you know, don't give me $2 million, I'm going to let everyone know.
Right.
Kind of thing. And so he's like,
you know, I give him a lot of credit for not falling for it and just coming straight out and coming clean.
Right. And for actually making jokes about it. because he said that he felt really bad for all the women because, you know, how embarrassing is it for them to have to admit that they had sex with him? It was, you know what I mean? It was like, yeah. I thought it was really funny. Yeah. You know, I do feel bad for his wife, though. It's got to be humiliating in right. the extreme. But at the same time, you know, at least the blackmailer got busted.
Right.
Another criminal behind bars. Letterman's kind of the unofficial head of the A-team, isn't he?
No.
Righting the wrongs of society?
Not in the least.
No?
No.
No. There's no...
No. What's really funny about that is, like, you always picture him to be so reclusive.
Yeah.
And here he's banging his staff.
Okay, I almost just spit water all over my computer. You can't say that when I'm drinking. That doesn't surprise me at all. Because he's got to be at least partially an egomaniac to have that job.
Right.
And so now you know he is, for sure. Sexually. But anyway. Jesse Alexander, you know, he's working on that Day One series, which is no longer a series. Now it's been reformatted down from a 13-week episodic series to a 2-part, 4-hour miniseries format. And he said it's because it makes the most sense in that then instead of worrying about having to do 13 weeks, I can just make one 4-hour, you know, 2-part movie that's really kick-ass. But
what's the premise of this?
We don't really know. There's some disaster, and it might have something to do with aliens. So there you go. There's just this kind of buzz right now that the networks are all afraid of sci-fi.
Uh-huh.
Like, they none of them trust sci-fi to do well.
Yeah, but there's more sci-fi on TV now than there's been in a long time.
I know, but with, you know, them canceling Terminator because, you know, Fox canceling Terminator and Dollhouse, I think, has set actually a new record for low numbers.
Oh, really?
Or something like that.
Was it canceled? Season.
No, it's still on right now, but, I mean, it's not looking right. good at all. But, I mean, I think Fox totally screwed up. They should have kept Terminator going and killed Dollhouse.
Are you still watching Dollhouse?
I haven't seen it yet this season.
Maybe Terminator was too expensive to produce for the numbers they were generating.
It could have been. But I can't imagine Dollhouse is much cheaper. Didn't we read something recently about them filming like in Thailand or something?
I don't know.
But anyway. Fabio Viviani from last season's Top Chef will be getting his own reality series focusing on him and his business partner, Jacopo Fellaini, as they try to reach a wider audience and more diverse client base catering high-end events. Will you be tuning in?
Yeah, because he was very entertaining.
He was very entertaining. I've seen a few videos of him and his business partner, and his business partner, you know, I'm not really sure about yet. I can't tell if he seems like a decent guy or... Because Fabio was very charming.
Uh-huh.
His business partner seems like he might be a little rough around the edges. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll have to see what goes on with that. But is this the first time that one of the Top Chef people who didn't win has had something come of the show?
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. Good for you, Fabio.
And interesting that they chose someone that wasn't a winner.
Right. Right. He's a winner in many ways, though.
That he is.
Bravo has ordered another season of Top Chef, speaking of. Open casting starts on October 18th in San Francisco, and we'll move on to Miami, Chicago. You know, we should go to that.
We should.
We should just go and see if we can interview some people and, you know. That's on October 26th. Then D.C., New York, Dallas, and L.A. So if you believe you could be the Top Chef, you might want to go audition. And in other Top Chef news, Padma Lakshmi is pregnant. No word on who the father is, although I'm assuming she knows. And, you know, it's kind of a big deal.
Or she'll find out on Maury Povich.
That's right. It's kind of a big deal for her because she has apparently dealt with endometriosis her whole life, or at least her whole adult life, or much of it, or whatever. And so they are calling her pregnancy a miracle, which most people call their pregnancies. So,
right.
No, but I mean, that's great.
Happens
and
every
she's,
day.
She even is involved in like, I think she set up an endometriosis, some kind of foundation or charity or something to, you know, support, you know, finding cures for it and helping people deal with it and stuff like that. So that's awesome for her.
Yeah. But now she has no credibility.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, because now she got pregnant. So.
So really, what's the big deal?
So how can you feel sorry for now?
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
It's terrible.
I feel sorry for her being so hideous.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
really
that
sad
scar
to live
is just,
life.
Oh gosh. How could she even be on TV with that scar? I hope you people know we're kidding because
she's gorgeous.
One of the most gorgeous women on television. Okay, this is great. Fantasy Island is being made into a reality series by Mark Burnett and Sony. And the deal is that there are going to be 12 contestants, and, you know, one will be eliminated every week. And what they're going to do is try to fulfill the fantasies of new guests every week. So some guests will come on and have a dream wedding, and somebody will want to have a concert by their musical hero or whatever. And whoever does the worst job fulfilling their, you know, fantasy will hit the road. That's lame.
Well, you know what's really funny? I saw a story on this on the news this morning, and they said that the winner, the one who wins,
yeah,
will become Mr. Work.
But what's so lame about that is it's like if you're going to do a show like that, is that the kind of lame-o fantasies you would have people bring there? I'd like to lay on the beach for a week and have pina coladas. You did a horrible job. My umbrella was not tilted properly, and you're going home.
No, what is this voice? I like the other voice better.
Okay. That's so, can I be on the fantasy island, please, sir?
Oh, I can't get enough of that.
But
less is more.
Yeah. Thank you. Bidding war erupted over a spy series by J.J. Abrams. Now get this. NBC emerged victorious. The plot is going to blow you away. It's about two spies who work together, and they're also married.
So, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, my gosh. That's already been done?
It's been done.
What? Well, you know, he doesn't exactly have a track record of... I mean, I love a lot of his shows, but, I mean, even Alias was a total ripoff of La Femme Nikita. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm sure Lost is a ripoff of something. Wasn't there a guy...
Yeah, wasn't there a guy suing him for that?
Yeah, a guy suing him who said he stole his idea. There are no new ideas. No, there are
no new ideas.
That's true. As if the exploitation theme on Dollhouse isn't bad enough, now you can get a virtual Echo, which is a program that you can run on your computer that lets you have Eliza Dushku come out in different outfits and flirt with you. And you can even do an augmented reality thing where you like take a picture of the room you're in and you hold it up to your webcam, and then the program will superimpose her in your room walking around and doing stuff.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Where do I find that?
I don't know, but on the computer net. But I think it's really ridiculous. Although I'm sure a lot of people are going to get that and have a lot of fun with it, if you know what I'm saying. Do you have anything else about TV?
Sticky keys.
Ew. You have anything else about TV?
That's all I have to say.
Okay, and on that note, why don't we take a little break? I'm going to go take a shower, and we'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. Tony, what have you seen this week?
Nothing. And you, Lou?
I'm sorry. I think we have a bad connection. Did you ask me something?
I can't
hear you. I think we should just move on to the miscellaneous movie news.
I think so.
Neither one of us have seen anything this week, movie-wise. There's too much TV going on.
Yeah.
And plus, combined with a lot of...
There's some stuff out I want to see, though. So
yeah, what's out? What's out right now? What's out right now that you
want
to see?
You have that information ready for you, don't you?
Yes, please go to the Fandango. Fandango.
You know, I don't go to Fandango.
Okay, I work...
Zombieland.
For Mr. Fandango. I heard that was no good.
Really? Because it's got nothing but great reviews, and it was the number one movie at the box office last week.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. The number one movie at the box office means nothing.
Okay, and the reviews mean nothing. So who did you hear your...
Friend of mine. Well, he said it was terrible.
Really?
Yeah. But you know, I don't always agree with him because he makes horror movies, so he's very jaded about them.
Right.
But he loved Jennifer's Body.
There you go.
He said it was a great movie.
Yeah.
And he said Megan Fox really isn't that... She's not nearly as much of a central character as... what's her name?
Jennifer.
No.
Eliza Dushku.
She's not in that movie.
Maury
Povich.
I love that we've dropped Maury Povich twice today.
Yeah, I'd like to drop Maury Povich. Okay, so what else is out?
There's Zombieland.
Yeah.
There's Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Which is doing very
well. It's gotten good reviews.
I know, it's supposed to be a great movie.
It's supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would sit through the whole thing, but it would be interesting to go see Toy Story and Toy Story 2 in 3D.
Yeah, I don't know that I think that would be
one of
those things.
I think
if
it was just one of them, I would be more apt to go than to sit through both.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that if it had been done that way, I'd be pretty excited about it, but I don't need to see that in 3D. It's not going to add to the experience, I don't think,
okay,
for me. And I'm not a huge Toy Story fan. I like Toy Story 2 much better than the first one. But anyway, Go on. What
you
else?
Liked the second one better than the first?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I think I did too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the first one was, like, the introduction to the whole genre.
Well, sure.
So.
Sure. I mean, if you're going to be so rude as to discount Tron.
Yeah, but that's not really the same.
No, but it's the first full-length movie that... I mean, it was not 100% CG, but, right. You know.
Coming this weekend, Couples Retreat with Vince Vaughn, which looks pretty funny.
Yeah, that I'm not sure. You know, that could go either way.
Let me see if there's any...
advance review.
Yeah.
So far, you've only mentioned like 2.5 things. You said there was a bunch of stuff out that you wanted to see.
Well, you know, looking at how often we've been seeing movies recently, that's...
What difference does it make?
That's like a month and
one
a half.
One would be enough. Yeah. That's true.
Let's see. I'm not...
All right. While you're looking that up, I'm going to talk about the fact that Hugh Jackman has signed on to play the lead role in Real Steel, which is about boxing robots. And no, he's not going to play a robot. He actually plays a former boxer who becomes a robot boxing promoter.
Ah. So it's like Rock'em Sock'em.
Apparently, with Hugh Jackman, I don't get it. It sounds dumb to me. Watch, it'll be the best movie ever made. I doubt that. ComingSoon.net posted pictures of Jessica Biel shooting for the A-Team. And like so many Army generals, she's got long flowing hair and is wearing a leather mini trench coat over what looks like a white mini dress.
Yes.
Don't most Army generals dress up that way?
That is standard uniform.
The standard issue, right?
Yeah.
Especially the hair. And she's doing all this in a shopping mall where I always see a lot of Army generals.
Right.
The mall across the street, I can't even go in there anymore. It's like Fort Bragg in there.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means or where Fort Bragg is. Stellan Skarsgård joins the cast of Thor, but his part remains a mystery. Do you like him? I like him.
Yeah, he's all right.
He's pretty good. You know Dick Cook, who left Disney?
Yes, the monorail operator.
Right, the guy. Yeah, that guy. Filling his shoes will be Rich Ross. Apparently, they will only hire people with single-syllable first and last names, which is interesting. He's already started work and is now in charge of worldwide production, distribution, and marketing, as well as heading Disney's theatrical and music groups. So no pressure, Rick, Rich, whatever. And Transformers 3 will be out in July of 2011, which gives Megan Fox a whole almost 2 years.
To kiss some ass.
To kiss some ass. Yeah. You know she's not gonna.
No.
She now probably sees herself as the bad girl of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we all see her.
Bad actress of
yeah,
Hollywood.
That's what I was going to say. We all see her as Hollywood's bad girl too, but not in the way that she thinks.
By the way, there are 3 reviews out right now for Couples Retreat on Rotten Tomatoes, all of them rotten.
So, really?
Yeah.
Do you think those are just haters? Or do they look like they're actual real reviews?
This one lady says it's mean, miserable married men. Not funny. A toddler easily steals the movie. So there you go.
There you go. Yeah, it didn't look good from the previews. That chick from Watchmen is in it, though, right? Didn't she play Vince Vaughn's wife or something?
Pardon me?
The chick from Watchmen? Isn't she in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
She is. As is Kristen Davis and Kristen Bell.
Kristen Davis.
Kristen Davis, Sex and the City, Kristen Bell, Sarah Marshall.
Right. Yes. Kristen Bell.
And Jason Bateman, who really can do no wrong for me.
That's true. Kristen Bell, I'm not a huge fan of.
I am, actually.
Her teeth are too white.
Damn
it
her.
Freaks me out. It freaks me out.
You know
They're
what?
Too white.
I don't like her now.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad we got that settled. So what else is out or coming out?
That I just told you.
That's it. You mentioned 4 things. The place by my house has 30 screens. There's got to be more than 4 movies out.
Yeah, but they're playing all those Middle Eastern movies.
That's actually true. They do. If you live in the Chicago area and you happen to be Indian and you want a place to go see good Indian movies or any Indian movies, go to AMC 30 because they've always got like 4 or 5 Indian films playing there. Got a very high Indian population.
The Invention of Lying is out, and I've heard
bad
things about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange casting in that movie.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
There's also Whip It. There's the that's the roller derby movie.
Yeah, I've heard it's not
good. Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I've heard
it's
not
good. It's got 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Yep. The Informant, I still want to see.
Is the person who reviewed it, is their screen name Drew B?
yeah, but it's spelled D-R-O-O-B-Y. Drewby.
You're not that clever, Drew. We're on to you.
The Informant. I want to see that.
Oh, I do want to see that. That looks good. Is that a Coen Brothers movie?
No, it's Soderbergh.
Oh, he does good films.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't he the one who started calling Spielberg Spiely?
Is he?
I think so. Wasn't that him? He was like on Letterman or something.
That's his movie for just that.
Yeah, just because I appreciate that about him. And Spielberg's probably somewhere going, damn you, Soderbergh. I don't know why he has that voice.
I don't either.
Ah, damn you, Soderbergh. I'm going to get you for that. I don't have anything else about movies. It's like the shortest movie segment anyway.
It's all right. We got a lot in the next.
Okay.
Next section.
All right. We're going to be back in a minute to talk about everything else. All right. We're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh moosh.
The moosh moosh, ladies and gentlemen. Fujifilm has released its FinePix Real 3D W1 camera. This is the weirdest thing. It's capable of taking 3D pictures. Okay, we've heard that before. But it displays them in 3D with no glasses via the screen on the back of the camera. So apparently you just look at the screen on the back and it's in 3D. How cool is that?
Yeah.
$600.
But you got to carry the camera around to show pictures.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you can also print them as regular pictures. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Does anyone print pictures anymore? Do you print pictures?
At home, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I don't take them anywhere.
Oh, you mean you just print them on a printer?
Yeah.
They come out all right?
Yeah.
Yeah? You use photo paper for that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Penske has walked away from its Saturn talks with GM. As a result, Saturn will be shut down.
Really?
And there will be no more Saturn.
That seems like a pretty big deal.
It is a big deal. But that was always going to happen. Unless somebody bought Saturn. For a while, the dealerships, like all the Saturn dealerships, wanted to sort of like create a company together and buy the company. The problem, the reason it broke down is because...
Oh, I think you had mentioned that before.
Penske, GM had said they were going to keep making Saturns for the new owners until the end of next year. The problem was that Penske couldn't get any other car companies to keep making new cars for them after that. Right. So they were like, they were talking to Renault for a while, and Renault was going to make cars that they were going to bring over here and brand as Saturns, but it didn't happen. So Saturn's going bye-bye, which is fine. It's a goofy brand anyway. Fox has announced some Blu-ray innovations that will debut on the Wolverine disc when it comes out. First of those is faster load times, which nobody's going to complain about. The disc will also download IMDb data that you can access instantly while you're watching the movie to look up cast and crew info and stuff like that. And you can actually use your iPhone as a remote, you know, so that you can use the keyboard on it to do those kind of searches. I don't know how that works.
Me neither. How do you sync your iPhone to
I have no idea.
Blu-ray player.
I have no idea. But apparently they're going to do that.
That's interesting.
It could be magic. I don't know.
That is magic.
That is magic.
And how weird to hear that the disc can actually control load times rather than it being the machine.
Right. Well, what I read was that they're going to have content loading while you're watching the previews, but it's like, well, I always skip the previews. So how is that going to help me?
It doesn't always let you skip the previews, though.
Well, apparently that's going to be the case. But then what difference does it make? I'm watching something I didn't want to watch just so that I don't have to sit there. I'd rather watch a black screen for 5 minutes. Actually, that's not true.
That's not true.
I would just, but I still don't want to watch previews that I don't want
You're
to see.
You're negative, Nancy.
I just don't want to watch dumb previews on something that I just paid for. I spent some time driving the Jaguar XF this weekend.
Oh, really?
Oh, let me just tell you, that car is unbelievably fun to drive.
Now, let's state that this is not your car.
It's not my car. I didn't say I got one. I said I spent some time driving one.
You're somehow getting perks from doing this podcast that I'm not seeing.
Well, you know what? Whose name is on the front door? That's all I'm saying. So I spent some time driving it this weekend. I drove the premium version, which is...
The Prius.
No, not the Prius. I drove the premium.
It's better than the Prius, isn't it?
It's a little better than the Prius, yeah.
Okay.
I drove the premium, which is...
Is it as quiet as the Prius?
It's probably not quite as quiet as the Prius.
And there you go.
I don't think
we'll
it gets
see.
As good mileage as
I'm
the Prius.
I'm not impressed.
Okay. This one is 385 horsepower and just an unbelievable kick in the pants. I mean, it's a big sedan, and the thing goes incredibly fast. And that's not even the... It's the only the second... From the, I mean, not to say that the bottom is bad in this case, but it's, you know, the second one up in the model range. There's a supercharged one that's even faster, and then there's the XFR, which is like 550 horsepower.
That's weird. That's a Jaguar, huh?
Yeah. It's a beautiful car. They did so many cool things, like all the vents on the dashboard, when you turn off the car, they all rotate around, and then they have a panel on the back of them that's the same as the dashboard.
It's completely flush.
It's not totally flush. I mean, there's a little thing there, and you know that they're the vents, obviously, but it's really cool that, you know, they kind of made it more, blendy as it were. But it's got an iPod dock, like an actual iPod dock. So when you put your iPhone or iPod hooked up to it, you can, you know, browse through all your music through the touchscreen on the sat nav screen.
That's cool.
Which is very nice. And lots of other really nice features. Extremely comfortable. I mean, the dashboard is actually leather. It's not plastic that has leather grain,
right?
You know, embossed on it or whatever. So it's a very, very nice car and a lot of fun to drive. Highly recommend it for anyone who has the opportunity.
Adjustable seats?
Yeah, they have that. You don't all have to be the same size, which is nice. There's a rumor that Apple bought online mapping company PlaceBase in July because they may be ending their whole love affair with Google. You know, because Google's like kind of built into the iPhone.
Right.
Whole Google Maps and everything. But now there's a rumor that that may be ending, and that's why they bought that company. Because they don't really have a history of buying companies that they don't directly use.
Right.
So we'll see what happens with that. NASA is running out of plutonium-238, and they need that for fuel for deep space missions.
So actually, if we have any of this,
yes,
they'd probably pay a
This is a call
for it.
Out to our listeners. If you have any plutonium-238, please let us know. Send an email to podcast@pause.com, and we will in turn contact NASA, and I'm sure there will be some kind of reward.
And a finder's fee.
Or a finder's fee for us, or a free tour of a rocket or something, right? Wouldn't you think?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I read ahead in this next thing. I can't put. Why would you even put this next thing on here?
Brando has released a bamboo keyboard and mouse. What do you mean, why would I? Because I mean, people like green stuff. People like bamboo stuff. But supposedly it's a piece of junk. And the keys are not even bamboo. They're plastic. Yeah. They just look like bamboo. But the frame of the keyboard is, you know, is
that's
bamboo.
That's a great story.
Do you know bamboo is not wood?
What is it?
It's grass.
Ah. Interesting.
That's why it's so renewable, because you cut it down and it just keeps growing. You know what I mean?
Huh.
It's a good thing. You know, they got everything made out of that now. I have bowls at home made out of bamboo.
Really?
Yeah. I have towels, hand towels made out of bamboo.
Come on.
I'm not kidding. Bamboo fiber, softest thing you ever felt. It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, they're really cool. And, you know, I mean, they even make bamboo flooring now. Right. We have some really nice furniture that's made out of bamboo. And I don't mean it looks like rattan or
right.
tropical. I mean, it's, you know, the material uses bamboo. It's, we got it from Room and Board. It's like, you know, have you seen that TV stand that's bamboo that we got
in
our living room?
So.
I don't think so. You should see it. It's a really cool piece. But anyway, Verizon has started running some very funny commercials. So, you know, all the Apple commercials, you know, there's an app for that.
Right.
Well, this Verizon commercial is like a guy walking through a college campus. It's like, if you want to see the best 3G coverage in the entire United States, there's a map for that. And they show a coverage map for Verizon. And then they start making fun of like the spotty coverage of AT&T by saying, you know, and if you want to see why your college roommate is having trouble connecting, there's a map for that too. And it's a really, really awesome, you know, poke it at AT&T.
It's very clever.
It is
genius
very clever.
Almost.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Flash 10.1, this is very exciting news. Flash 10.1 is coming to all platforms, PC, Macintosh, Linux, Android, Windows Mobile. I'm sorry, not the iPhone. That's the only platform not gonna, and I'm not talking about mobile Flash. I'm talking right. about Flash 10.1, the full version, is gonna run on pretty much every major platform except the iPhone. Pathetic. Audi will actually produce the e-tron, which I raved about a couple of weeks ago, and they're going to be testing prototypes within 2 years. The Brno Digital Peephole Viewer mounts a small LCD screen inside your door so that you can see who's on the other side of the peephole without having to look through that little hole. It's $160 and runs on two batteries for up to 1,700 peeps. That's not too bad, actually. You know how long it would take you to get 1,700 visitors? I mean, unless you're like hooking or something.
I don't know. 1,700 peep. I peep quite a lot. Do a lot of peeping.
This is not that kind of peeping.
Oh.
Sorry. Ah. You need a telescope for that, not a peephole viewer. NVIDIA has announced their Fermi GPU technology with 512 cores and 3 billion transistors. And it also uses a new GDDR5 memory model.
I don't know what any of that means.
Well, you know, like the current processors in your computer have like 2 or 4 cores.
Okay.
This is a graphics chip, you know, for your graphics card that has 512 cores.
Wow.
Insane. You know, and what's interesting is a lot of...
But it still won't run most PC games.
No, that's not true. It'll actually melt your face if you play all most PC games. No, what's really cool about it is that, in fact, graphics processing has become so fast that a lot of applications are now using the graphics processor to do non-graphics processing. So like even in certain things like Photoshop will actually use your graphics card to render stuff more quickly than your computer processor could do by itself,
right.
Which is really neat. Mm-hmm. It's very cool that computing is becoming that distributed. Nissan has created some rolling robots called Eporo that mimic the actions of schools of fish, hoping to someday use the technology to make cars that drive themselves and avoid colliding with each other, which is actually pretty cool. There's little, very cute little robots that they almost look like little ghosts, and they move around this track, and it, when you watch them move, it actually looks like a little school of fish. I don't know how they program that stuff. That's amazing to me. Panasonic.
Wait.
What? What?
I just wanted to make sure that you are, in fact, about to talk about what you're about
okay.
to talk about.
This is, do you know anyone who doesn't have to iron shirts?
Go ahead.
Okay. Panasonic has a new iron called the 360 degree.
An iron.
That you use to press clothing with.
Yes.
You know how most irons have the point at the front and the square part at the back?
Yeah.
And you go to press your clothes and the square part is always messing up your shirts?
Right.
Well, this one has a point at the front and then it goes out and then has another point at the back. So you're not going to mess up your shirts anymore. Why didn't anyone ever do that before?
I think original irons were like that, weren't they?
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think original irons were just literally a piece of iron that it was the shape of a current iron that you'd put over like... you know, hot coals or a fireplace. And then I guess you burned your hand or something. I don't know how that would work.
This is just a step below pans, by the way, in the mashup section.
It's electronic. That counts for something.
Okay.
Hey, I would love a better way to press my shirts. I hate ironing. Do you enjoy ironing?
I don't. I just bring it to the dry cleaners.
Yeah, but that's expensive, isn't it?
No, the shirt is $1.
To iron?
Well, to wash and iron.
$1?
Yeah.
Like $5 by my house.
For one shirt?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking dry cleaning. I'm talking about launder.
Yeah. Yeah, they charge like $4 or $5.
You're kidding. I double check that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a total ripoff if that's
maybe
case.
I should go to a different dry cleaner.
I would think. I mean, to launder. To dry clean a shirt, yes.
Yeah.
$4 or $5. But to just launder and press,
yeah.
$1.
Wow, that's cheap. That's not too bad. A company called Gyrobike has created the gyro wheel, which would be the front, it would replace the front wheel on a kid's bike, and it creates a gyroscopic precessional force so that the bike sort of auto-stabilizes, so it wouldn't need training wheels anymore, which is kind of cool.
But the kid only goes around in a circle.
Oh, the kid's not allowed to ride it once the wheel's in place, sorry. It's too dangerous. yeah, it only goes in a circle at like 180 miles an hour. Bugatti has given the green light to its 16C Galibier concept, a four-door sedan powered by the Veyron's W16 8-liter quad-turbo engine, detuned to only get 800 horsepower. Give me a break.
What does any of that mean?
It means that it's going to cost $1.5 million.
Ah.
For a car. Asus has unveiled the e-box EB1501 nettop. It's very cool. First of all, it's a really cool little design. And unlike most netbooks and nettops, it actually has a DVD drive, so you can play DVDs on it. It runs Windows 7, has a dual-core Atom processor, 2 gigs of RAM, 250-gig hard drive, and NVIDIA Ion graphics so that it can actually display 1080p video, which is very cool.
So why isn't the DVD drive Blu-ray?
I don't know. Maybe it can't handle that much processing because it's like 4 times a DVD. You know what I mean? Toshiba's cell processor-powered Regza 55X1 TV can record and display 8 channels at once. So, like, if you want to look at a bunch of different channels, you know, you press whatever button, and so the main screen shrinks down a little bit, and around the side and bottom of the main channel you're viewing are 7 other mini-channel versions.
That is sensory overload.
It is sensory overload. That's like every crazy movie you've ever seen with some megalomaniac who's trying to take over the world.
Right.
But it'll do it. And the price, $11,000. Toshiba hopes to sell 1,000 of them.
What's this? The cell processor is used in the PS3.
The cell processor is the same processor used in the PS3.
Ah.
And Toshiba hopes to sell 1,000 of them per month before releasing it here next year. Yeah, good luck with that, Toshiba. An $11,000 TV, you want to sell 1,000 of them a month? Have you heard of the economy?
Right.
What's up with that? President Obama has banned texting while driving for all 4.5 million government workers. I have no joke about that. Lego has released the 10199 Winter Toy Shop, which is now available from Lego.com for $60. It's got 815 pieces, including 7 minifigures. It is really cool. So if you got the holiday train a couple years ago, get this to go with it.
What is electronic here?
It doesn't matter. It's mishmash. They've also announced the 10210 Imperial Flagship for January, retailing at about $180, with 1,664 pieces and 9 minifigures. It's really cool. It's a very, I mean, you know, for Lego, it's a very realistic, like, old sailing vessel, which has got removable sections and all this detail inside the ship and everything. It's actually very cool. Go look that up online. There's another rumor that the Apple tablet has been in off-again, on-again development for the last 6 years. Doesn't that seem like an awfully long time?
Yes.
Thank you, Tony, for chiming in.
I'm looking up this Lego thing.
Europe's 15...
I gotta see... I mean, it better be impressive for it to have made...
Which one?
This Lego Imperial flagship.
It's pretty cool. Europe's 15 most fuel-efficient cars all get more than 56 miles to the gallon. Do you think there are 15 cars sold in this country that get more than 56 miles to the gallon? Because I don't think so. Almost all of them are diesels. In fact, the only one that's not a diesel is the Prius, and I don't even think that version of the Prius is sold here. But the Smart for 2 diesel is number one, 69 miles to the gallon. That's amazing.
That is. That's a lot.
That's a lot. At the bottom of the list, if you can even call it that, is the Fiat 500 diesel that gets 56 miles to the gallon. And finally, Apple has apparently risen to being in 12% of homes in the U.S., which you would think is something to cheer about. Yay, Apple. But uh-oh, only 2% of homes only run Apple computers. So there are only 2% of households that have Macs or, you know, MacBooks or whatever and don't have any PCs. And I'm going to guess that...
Oh, that only... Okay.
Right. Right. And I'm going to guess that some of those 2% are actually lying and they have PCs in there. Because what are the odds that there are 2% of people who can afford a Mac who don't have to use a PC for work?
Well, artists.
You think artists make up 2% of the population?
No, but I'm saying that that's one... Yeah. Not everyone needs a PC for work. I don't need a PC for work.
Sure you do. You got one right in front of you.
Yeah, but I don't need it for work. Hmm. But I will tell you what I... This is a good segue.
Okay.
I will tell you what I've needed and is now available.
What? What's that, Tony?
There's an app out right now. Well, I mean, it's been out for a while, but now it does everything I need it to do.
Okay.
As of this week. It's Documents to Go. What it is, it's...
Oh, sure.
Microsoft Word and Excel editing and desktop sync app for your iPhone.
That's very cool.
It's very cool because I do a lot of Excel. I have a lot of Excel spreadsheets. Like, for example, doing what I do, I keep track of everything I make and just
right.
a lot of information. I'm just addicted to spreadsheets.
Okay.
So now I can keep them all on my phone.
Yeah.
And I can edit them on my phone and, you know, put numbers in my phone. But what's great, then when I come back to my computer, because before I just used to, like, type the information in the little notes section on my phone. And then when I got home,
you
I'd have to
into
open the Excel file and put it in. And
right.
Now I can just go straight to the Excel file, put it in from my phone, and then when I get home, all you do is open the desktop thing and press sync, and it completely syncs it into the folder.
Oh, so there's a desktop version of the application.
Right, but I mean, get it when
right.
you buy
yeah,
it,
sure.
buy the app. The app is $10, but I mean, that's amazing. I mean, they had the Word editing and all that before, but as of this week, the Excel editing.
Oh, that's very cool.
And it's very cool. And it's worked flawlessly for me.
The one thing that's a big suck about that, and this is Apple's fault, is that just like with the e-wallet software that I like, is that Apple won't let any of these software developers automatically sync their data when you connect your phone, which is a major drag.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. All they'd have to do is send some kind of notification to the software so that it knows to sync.
Right.
And they won't let anybody do that because they don't want them using the, you know, the connection. I don't know. It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
But I have to say, at $10, like, if this is something that, you know.
That you would use, yeah.
It's.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
It's excellent. I've had not a single problem with it. And it has, you wouldn't believe, just from your phone. I mean, you can make spreadsheets on your phone. I mean,
that's
obviously
cool.
The display is smaller, so it's a little more difficult. But, you know, almost everything you can do from your computer, you can do on the phone.
That's very cool.
So highly recommend it.
Documents to Go?
Documents to Go. It's made by DataViz.
Okay.
And $9.99.
DataViz, I'm pretty sure, has been around for a long time. I want to say that they made... it sounds so familiar. I want to say that they've been, I mean, like literally around for like decades, if that's the company I'm thinking of. Because I think they maybe actually used to make some kind of like spreadsheet software or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting confused with another company, but it sounds awfully familiar. That's all I'm saying.
They do a lot of Palm software as well.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They have lots of
Lots of Palm apps.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, whatever. That's very cool. So do you have anything else? Oh, you know, Stritch, another thing that Stritch asked us was why we didn't talk about Google Wave. And
Lewis Sour Grapes.
To be honest, the reason we didn't talk about it is because I haven't gotten an invite. I've requested one.
You sour grapes.
No, I'm not sour grapes. It's just I haven't used it. So I don't really want to talk much about it. If you've heard
you
about it.
You okay. Because I don't completely understand the whole Wave conversation.
Okay. This is how I heard it explained. You know, email was basically invented 40 years ago.
Okay.
So what some people at Google said was, if you took all of the things that are prevalent right now, all your email, your document sharing, your, you know, business collaboration software, all your social networking places like Facebook and Twitter, you know, and Flickr and blah, 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 all these different things. If you took all that into consideration and invented email now, what would it look like and how would it act? So rather than a system where I send an email to you and maybe I copy someone on it or you forward it to somebody else and there's all these different versions of it floating around, the email is all based on the Google Wave platform.
Okay.
So it doesn't exist on your computer or on that computer. It's there on Google Wave. And so rather than sending it to somebody, you invite somebody to it. So I invite you to the conversation. And then we can go back and forth and, you know, we can keep adding to it and we can just drag documents to it if, you know, if there's a document that's involved in it.
Right.
And any changes that you make show up in the next step of the conversation. And then, like, later, if somebody else gets invited to the conversation, there's a little slider that they can drag. So they can, the slider is basically the chronology of the conversation. So they can drag it all the way to one side and see how the conversation started and then follow along with the conversation. And I'm assuming you can make it so that certain people can only view certain parts of the right. conversation and not others and stuff like that. But it's basically a way to have a conversation have a sort of life of its own that you don't have to worry about somebody missed this part or that part or, you know, do we have to sync changes with this document between us all? Because there's nothing to sync because it's all happening in one place.
Right.
And so that's kind of the basic, you know, crux of what
it's
all
about.
So why
would you ever want to do that?
Well, it would make certain things a lot easier.
I'm just being a smart ass.
A negative Nancy.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But I am hoping to get an invite. I mean, they're giving out 100,000 invites.
You can buy an invite on eBay.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I read it yesterday. That's actually kind of funny. Is it for charity or just somebody who got it and he's selling it?
Someone got it and he's selling it.
That's probably not even legal. I'm sure Google didn't plan for that to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me see.
That's pretty funny, though. How much do you want for it?
That's what I'm going to
say. I'm just saying, because I got a few bucks lying around handy.
Google Wave invitation.
Huh. Maybe just invite if invitation doesn't come up. Did it come up?
Oh, free shipping.
Oh, that's nice. Free shipping on the electronic key that they're going to send by
email?
I'm
looking for a buy now price, and there aren't. You have to bid on all of them. But
what are some of the bids at?
Let's see. The one that's just about to end, well, in 14 hours, is at $22.
Oh, well, that's not too crazy.
I'll buy it now only. Let's see if there are any.
That's not too bad.
$30.
That's not too bad. I mean, I expected them to be like $2,500 or something stupid.
Really?
Like that. Well, people will pay lots of money for stupid stuff.
Those people are stupid.
That's why they pay stupid money for things. That's exactly the point. Those are the people I want as customers. When I sell stupid stuff for way over value. So that's pretty much it for all this stuff. And as always, it is now time for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, please give us your worst entertainment moment of the week.
You already gave them my worst entertainment moment of the week.
They've forgotten by now.
It was Cougar Town. I went on and on last week about how funny I thought Cougar Town was and how it was smartly written. This second episode was terrible.
Now, when you told me that the other day, you said...
I said I have a theory.
Right. Tell me
the theory. Here's my theory. And my theory goes along... You know what? I'm comparing it to my theory about when music groups or singers, when they come out with their first album, do you ever notice how a lot of like groups or singers, their first album is usually their better album for the next few albums? And the reason is they've spent their whole life
working on that one
album.
Thing.
Then when they hit it big, within like a year, they have to come out with their second album. So obviously all the stuff that went into that first album doesn't go into the second
sure.
album. So I'm thinking here, they probably, you know, put all this work into the pilot in order to sell the pilot. And
sure.
then once they sold it, then, you know,
they had nothing
now they
left.
Got to churn a episode out every week.
Right.
So, because it just, it wasn't as smart, it wasn't as funny, and it was actually, you know, pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we recorded it, but I'm glad we didn't watch it, so, yeah. I know what you
and
mean,
And I worried
though.
That you were going to record it and watch it before I said this.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be like,
and then be mad
the
at you.
What are you talking about?
It's got terrible taste. No, I you know, we didn't even get a chance to watch it. We didn't want to see it without seeing the pilot, so we were going to try to, we recorded it, and then
still
we were going
to try
to
find the pilot if you can. So
yeah, yeah.
If it's on Hulu or...
Yeah, I'm sure it is. You know, the other thing that's weird, and I not to get too much on a, off on this tangent, but because you mentioned the whole music thing, the other thing that's weird about that is it also seems that there are times when a band will come out with, you know, their first big album, and you later find out that, you know, that it wasn't really the album they would have made because the studio or the record label had a lot of input and, you know, made them work with some people that maybe they wouldn't have worked with and stuff like that.
On their first album?
On their first album.
Because usually that's not the case. Usually it's their second album where that's the case.
Well, I'm thinking of, you know, like as a recent example, like Kelly Clarkson. You know, her first album was the label's album, basically.
Right.
And her albums since then have been her album. I actually like her first album better than some of the other ones. And I always think it's kind of funny when they talk about that and then they come out with an album that was just them and it's like, ooh, you know, you might want to go back to...
Well, because you've got to think, in most cases, the studio knows.
If something's good or bad?
Well, I mean, they know what's going to sell. I mean, they've been in that business longer than Kelly Clarkson has.
Sure, sure. But, and of course, with anything having to do with music, it's, I think, so much more subjective than even most other forms of
sure.
mass entertainment.
Sure.
But, like, using her album as an example, the reason I liked her first album was it was really diverse. I mean, there was like rock songs and pop songs and,
I think
you know,
you're referring to her second album.
No, her first album. Okay. Breakaway.
That's her second album.
No.
Her first album is Thankful.
Oh, Thankful is what I meant. Okay. Thankful is what I'm talking about.
So not the one with Since You've Been Gone.
No. Okay. I don't like that song.
Okay. But, I mean, that was the huge
yeah,
breakout.
I
mean, that did a lot better for her than her first album.
Yeah, which I think is crazy because I think the first album is a better album. There's a lot more diversity on it in terms of style.
It's sad how much we know about Kelly Clarkson.
Well, we both watch American Idol. I mean, right. Come on. You know, you can't avoid it, really. Unless you're Chris Sly. And then you can try to convince people to avoid it.
Right.
Or Juno Joyner or whatever. Okay, so that was your worst entertainment
Cougar
moment.
Town, yeah.
Cougar Town.
It's bad.
My worst entertainment moment actually was something that happened the other night in World of Warcraft. You know, they have these instances where, I didn't watch anything really bad this week. I watched, you know, a lot of pretty good stuff. So, I don't know.
I'd like to go back to past episodes and see how many times World of Warcraft is either your worst or best entertainment moment of the week.
I don't think it's as many as like when Terminator or BSG were on. I think those are still way ahead.
Okay.
But there are instances. So you go into an instance and you and the other people you're with are the only people in there. So unlike the rest of the game, which is everyone is anywhere. You know what I mean? And then if you die while you're in there, you have to go back into the instance to recover your corpse. Right?
Right.
Well, this particular instance we were in was too high of a level for my character. I was there because some other people, you know,
carried you along.
Well, they asked me to go with them to help, uh-huh. You know, and I'm good for support, but I'm, you know, I'm not, I couldn't do anything by myself in there. And really none of these things, you need like, you know, three to five people to get through.
So you're
things.
Like an 18-year-old trying to get into the club.
No, they're basically designed for anywhere from five, depending on the instance, anywhere from between 5 and 50 people.
Okay.
So this one was probably like a 5-person one.
Right.
So anyway, I died, and they were, you know, halfway through the instance, which is huge. I mean, this one was a whole city.
Right.
And so they're halfway through the instance when I
so
died.
So they didn't care about you at that point.
Right, they didn't care about me. So I got, I
because they're already in the club.
Dancing. I'm never going to get to tell this story. Dancing? There was no dancing.
No, you mean in the club, like a club.
No, I get it. So I die, and I resurrect, and I go back into the instance to recover my corpse, and there are enemies walking around.
There's no way out.
Who kept killing me over and over again, so I never was able to meet back up with them to finish the instance.
Or even get out, were you?
No, and this particular instance, you can't leave once you're in. The only way you can leave is by using this teleport thing that you have.
Right.
But you can't just, like, walk out of it. Right. So I couldn't just leave. I had to, like, leave and go.
So what's your alternative?
This is why it was my worst entertainment moment. Because it was a total CF, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
and it was very aggravating. It's very aggravating to try to get back to where you were and not be able to get back there because things keep killing you. Is all I'm
saying. So how did you do it?
I didn't. I left. I couldn't get back.
So that means that you lost something, right?
Oh.
No, I seriously want
no,
to
no,
know
no,
what
no.
happened.
I just couldn't finish the instance with them. So I didn't
But don't
get...
you lose like some kind of like belongings or
no,
money?
No, no, no.
Or...
In World of Warcraft, the way they do it is when you die, you have two choices. You can either go back and get your corpse, or you can talk to some kind of spirit.
A mage.
That will resurrect you on the spot. And then, like all your stuff, all your stuff takes damage, and you lose a bunch of stuff.
Right. So
I've never done that. I've never done that.
So how did you get out?
I used my teleport thing, and I just left.
Okay.
And ended up like three continents away. But whatever.
And that's your worst entertainment of the week.
Yeah, thank you for mocking the entire presentation. Appreciate that. So let's go move on to our best. What was your best entertainment?
My
of the
best
week?
Entertainment of the week was Kristen Chenoweth. Oh, again with my Kristen
Chenoweth
on Glee.
I'd like to go back to past episodes and see how much Kristen Chenoweth figures into them, because I think you talk about her a lot or something.
Very funny.
All right, so anyway. And I do like her too.
She guest starred on this week's Glee, and she was hysterical. She played kind of like, remember that TV show with, Strangers with Candy with Amy Sedaris.
Yeah, sure.
She played kind of the same character where she never finished high school.
Okay.
And so so the main star of the Glee Club has quit right now because she wanted to.
You're giving away important plot points?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I don't know if you're ever going to go back.
I am going to watch it. I just
Well, anyway, they had to find a really good singer right away. So he remembered that she was like the guy who runs
the teacher, right.
He remembered that there was this girl that he went to high school with, same high school, who never finished high school because she went off to become a star,
yeah.
But then kind of fell on hard times. So he decides, like, just through technicalities, to bring her back to have her finish high school, and then she can join the Glee Club.
Right.
Excuse me, she's, like, in her, like, late
30s. Right.
And, but she's a total alcoholic and total, like, she's sleeping with the football team. She's so funny.
Yeah, she is
so
really funny. She is
and
very
she
funny.
And she just, everything she does great.
Yeah. You just reminded me. Oh, I was just going to say, who's the girl who plays the other teacher with the kind of big eyes?
I don't know, but you know what? I need to find
out. I feel like I've seen her in other stuff, and
yeah.
I swear we looked her up. We've had this happen twice recently. We looked her up and could not see a single thing on her resume that we thought we'd ever seen. And it was freaking us out because we both know that we'd seen her before. And then the other person who that happened with was, who's the other Skarsgård? Peter Skarsgård. I was talking about him to Amy.
Oh, he's been in tons of stuff.
I know. And she's like, I've never seen him. I'm like, what are you talking about? We've seen him in a million things. And I went through all his stuff and I'm like, you know what? I don't think I've ever seen any of these. So I don't even know how I know the guy. It's very strange when that happens.
You know, for as much as I love that show, it's sad that I don't know any of the characters' names.
Yeah. Her name, I believe, is Emma.
Found it.
Is that it?
Yeah. Jemma Mays. Jemma.
What's she been in?
Ugly Betty.
Never seen it.
Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Never seen it.
Epic Movie.
Never seen it.
Smiley Face.
Never seen it.
Heroes.
She was in
Heroes. Heroes.
Oh, she was Heroes' girlfriend, the waitress at the restaurant.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Now I know. Thank goodness. Oh my gosh, I don't have to go crazy now. That is very good news. That is very good news.
Three episodes of Heroes.
Okay. I still don't know where I saw Peter Skarsgård, but whatever. My best entertainment moment of the week is going to have to go to Modern Family. I was just so pleased with such a solid second episode. Because again, second episodes, I mean, look at what happened with Cougar Town.
Sophomore.
Scary. Sophomore blues.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sophomore blues. And no, it was really great. There were just so many funny things in that. And it does have that whole heartfelt aspect to it that most comedies
the
don't
have. The warm fuzzies.
The warm fuzzies. It's got the warm fuzzies. And you don't even have to be drinking for them.
No.
It helps.
It helps, though. Yeah.
I mean, it does help. Let's just put that out there.
Stretch, I think you can understand. What we're
coming based on your comments about Stargate
Universe.
Shout out
to Keelan, you're out.
Lightweight. You know, it's such a good show, and I just highly recommend it to everybody who has eyes and ears. Yeah, you don't need any of the other stuff. That's fine. So that's pretty much it. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. Well, I guess that's it for this episode. Thanks, as always, for tuning in and listening. And don't forget to write us at podcast@pause.com. Visit us on Facebook. Go to iTunes and leave us a review and a rating. And, of course, subscribe if you haven't.
Do it. Do it.
And we will see you next week. And we will see you next week.
What was that?
You're supposed to say goodbye.
Oh, bye.
Let's try this again. All right. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.